You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, if there are no more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Revelation today, chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Well, with all the moisture, we're getting a lot of grass out where we are. Every moment I've got, I hit that lawnmower and then wait for it to grow in about one day's time. And then I'm at it again. And in order that I don't burn myself out, I just say, okay, let's be practical about this. We'll do this section here, and then we'll do the next section. And so I've divided our property up in little sections, subsections. Keeps me busy, gives me some exercise. And it's kind of fun to watch how fast things grow. We got some beautiful roses. Oh man, we got some beautiful roses. And we've discovered too that you can actually buy some good fertilizer for these things and make them just take off. We've got one rose bush which is it gives forth these pink blooms, and they have a nice scent to them, beautiful scent. But the thing I want to say is, I should take a picture of it and show you, because the thing is just loaded. It's just packed. And I said to Steph, okay, double the fertilizer. Let's see what's happened the next time. I know you can put too much on, but it seems like the more we put on, the more blooms we seem to get. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together for the book of Revelation, Lord, as it's opened up for us, Lord. We pray we could understand what's coming on this earth, and also, Lord, to thank thee for the time we have now and the special hope which is ours, as brought forth in the prison epistles of the Apostle Paul. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, well, we have been looking at the book of Revelation, and of course I want to point out that, of course, when we're looking at the book of Revelation, we're really talking about things that are going to come on this earth in the future. They're going to come, and John, who, as we read in the book of Galatians, was a minister to the circumcision. And so we're not surprised at all that what we find is that there's information here that pertains to the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's a good thing to keep in mind, that this time really relates to Israel, and a lot of the things you read about here pertain directly to Israel and then the nations as they interact with God's purposes to do with Israel. So we are in here. This is if you like, that the time where Paul reveals to us in this age the mystery. There's lots of mysteries in the Bible. Mysterion, the secret. But this one is the secret and hidden purpose which God had planned before the foundation, the catabole, that is the overthrow of the world. Back there was some kind of judgment that came onto this earth, which related to Satan and his emissaries. And then there was the ages that rolled on. So you could talk about this as since or from the foundation, this foundation or catabole, this foundation since or from the foundation of the world. And so we read about this right through the majority of the Bible. The Bible itself is really pertaining to a period of time and times from the foundation of the world. And so even when we come over to the time where the Gospels were written, we find still times related to this particular process of how God is moving to fill in the problems, the fillings that were needed because of how Israel had interacted with Satan's purposes, and God's filling those in again. But once we get to the end of the book of Acts, and by the way, isn't Acts a real problem for a lot of people? Because they make the basic assumption that the church began here, that is the church of which we are a part. They make the assumption that it all began in Acts chapter 2. And because they make that assumption, then they try and bring to themselves things that pertain to Israel. Water baptism, the Lord's Supper, or speaking in tongues. They try to make the miraculous happen today. They think that they've got the gifts, and they haven't, and they try and force it through. So much so that they talk in gibberish and call that tongues. And they say, we've got the gift, etc., etc. And so they make the mistake of trying to force these events, miraculous things. People raised from the dead, literally raised from the dead during this time. And they'll try and make those things happen today. We had some very embarrassing things happen in New Zealand from preachers who tried to make this happen. They'll go to a funeral and they'll even say, well, you've seen miraculous things before, but you're going to see something very miraculous now. You're going to see this person come up. Didn't happen, right? Didn't happen. So what's that going to do to faith? What's that going to do to a person's faith? A person who believes the Bible, right? This is a Christian person. A person who's trusted Christ, but the pulpit and the ministry is saying, these things are happening today. These things are your spiritual food. And you can speak in tongues and you can see the witness of the Holy Spirit as you saw diagnosed and presented in the book of Acts, and you can expect these things to happen today. And they don't happen, do they? Let's be honest. Let's be straight. Let's not try and force things. Let's just be honest. They are not happening today. So what do people try and do? Well, they try and force them. They try and force them to happen because they don't know how to resolve this problem. There's a problem. There's a problem that most people have. Now, we're not speaking from the point of view of arrogance, because nothing that we have, we didn't receive. Let's be honest, right? Let's be straight and honest. Nothing that we've got, we didn't actually receive. We're just very fortunate in this fellowship here that we've been under the ministry of some great preachers and teaching that has enabled us to hear and say, yeah, that's right. Why wasn't I told this years ago? Why didn't I find this years ago? But the truth of the matter is that the large bulk of people within professing Christianity are trying to live in here. And what does that mean? Well, that also means that what they're doing is they are taking epistles that were written during this time, which manifest the same teaching that you find in the book of Acts. And because they are in epistles written, for example, by Paul, they think that confirms that tongues is right, the speaking in these other languages is right, the healings and so on, that must be right because Paul's got it written in his epistles, right? They're written by Paul. So what we are teaching must be right. Have you ever considered that there's something that you've missed? Right at the end of the book of Acts, there is a statement in Acts 28:28. For the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Yeah, salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Up until then, yeah, there was Gentiles involved, but they were there to provoke Israel. Yeah, they were there. They spoke in tongues. Yeah, why? To provoke Israel. And Israelite would say, hey, look at that Gentile dog. He's speaking in tongues. He's got a manifestation of the Spirit of God. the message that he's come in contact must be truth. It was supposed to provoke Israel to jealousy. That was the function of it. Well, unfortunately, Israel said no to God, and God said, okay, well then, guess what? I'm not taken by surprise. I've got a secret purpose that goes back before the foundation. Right? It goes right back before the foundation of the world. That's where it goes. And this secret purpose goes back before the foundation of the world, hidden from the prophets. Moses, Elijah, all these great men of God. David. Hey, you know something? People want to put down some of the founding fathers of America because they'll point out their sins, which they had, because they're human beings. They will manifest sin. Right? They had them. They had sins in their lives. Hey, wait a minute. So you want to put aside the statements made by certain men because they had certain sins in their lives. So what about David? Huh? How are you going to get on with David? How are you going to get on with Moses? Right? How are you going to get on with the chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul? Huh? How are you going to get on there? You see, you've got to start thinking rationally. And you've got to see the quality of the things that are produced, those things that manifest the Spirit of God in this age, and those things that do not. We can separate off the sin from truth, can't we? We can do that. And so back here, before the foundation of the world, God had the secret purpose, and he kept it away all this time until just the right time when Israel rebelled against the Spirit of God. God then gave this great mystery to Paul the prisoner. So Paul the prisoner wrote certain epistles, and you can find them, seven of them. And in there pertains special teaching to us in this age. But the book of Revelation is talking about things to come. And we've been studying the time which is to come. We're about up to chapter 12. Over here, we've been looking at how various doctrines in the book of Revelation match up with other things that we're interested in. We're interested in, for example, the intermediate state. And people want to say, well, you know, when you die, you go to be with Jesus in heaven, and there you'll have a conscious existence, and I don't know what you're going to do there, but it's going to be good, etc., etc., etc. And then what happens is you're given a resurrected body sometime in the future. So that really there is a continuum. The teaching, the orthodox teaching, is that there's no lack of consciousness at all. You die, you stay conscious, and, you know, you just keep going. There's no real death. Death is just a kind of like a doorway, you know. Have you heard these poems that they produce at some of the funerals? Death is nothing. It's just a door. And I've just gone next door. Don't worry about me. I'm having a good time. Have you heard these sort of poems they produce at funerals? Well, it seems to me that if death is an enemy, there's something fundamentally wrong with these poems that people produce at funerals. Something's wrong. And we have been looking at various ideas to do with life. And the tree of life appears first of all. One thing is that God made it certain that people would not partake of the tree of life in the sinful condition. But isn't it interesting? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Isn't that true in so many ways? The righteous acts of people brings so much life to others. And this one here in Proverbs, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Oh, isn't it though? Isn't that true? When a wholesome word is given, it just changes everything. It changes everything. I think a lot of the ideals of Americans is so much wrapped up in how language is used. If you look at some of the great Americans, it seems like
This is something that Americans have tapped into and have recognized this idea that, you know, using words and language well is so important. And I think that's very true. It's a biblical idea. So we looked at this, for example, in Isaiah, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. That's certainly true. But look at this. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down in the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Why? Because when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. You're gone. The only way you can come up is through a resurrection. Our hope is in the resurrection. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Into silence. Yeah, that's right. His breath goeth forth, he returneth the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Yeah, that's called death. That's what happens when you die. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Yeah, happiness is in this hope because that's where the resurrection is. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That's the resurrection. That's our hope. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Look at that. When I awake. Yeah, so death is like sleep. You die, you go unconscious, and then at resurrection, you awake. You awake up. And for us who believe in Jesus, of course, we will come in the likeness of Christ. There's going to be some likeness there that we behold his powers. In the book of Daniel, we have this statement in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Well, this is exactly what we've been pointing out here. That revelation is a complete tie-up with the hope of Israel and what God is going to do with Israel. And the nations, yeah, they're in there. The nations come into this, but only as the hope of Israel is interacting. I mean, it's the hope of Israel that's found here and is a continuation of this passage here in Daniel 12. Isn't it interesting? It's chapter 12. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Many of them shall sleep in the dust. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. I notice the word many. Many. Here are some of the things, well, one of the things that I'm working on, which I have not completely found answers to, but I'm working on it. This question, here is the main question that I'm trying to solve. Here it is. I'll write it out. Will every human being obtain a resurrection? Now, I know about John. I know about these passages. Will every human being obtain a resurrection? I mean, some form of resurrection, either to everlasting life or to everlasting contempt. Okay? There's a number of other associated questions, but that's the main one that I'm working on at the moment. We have found answers to many of my questions already. We have. But this is one of the big ones that I'm working on. Why? Because this will influence a lot as to how we understand the Great White Throne Judgment. We've discovered a lot already, but there's more to come. This passage, I think, is just fantastic when you think about it. So, you can read the context, but I'm going to take you down to verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Stop there. If a man die, shall he live again? Do you notice the way many people ask questions today? If a man die, shall he continue to live? That's the way people want to phrase questions about death. If a man die, shall he continue to live? But that's not the way Job asks it. Job asks it like a Bible believer. If a man die, shall he live again? If you die, you're not alive by definition. If you're dead, you're dead. Don't try and say that you keep on living, that you've just moved next door into the next room. As nice an idea, as a philosophical idea as you might think that is, that's not a biblical question. This is the biblical question. Shall he live again? And what happens? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That's the biblical answer. Resurrection. Only when the change comes, man, that's when you get your life back. Cool? I mean, just think about it. It's kind of interesting. It's a very interesting thing to look at. We looked at this business of being naked, being found naked in death, you see. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Some people think that this house from heaven is in the naked state. Well, it can't be because you're naked. The house from heaven only comes when you clothe upon, right? And that is at the resurrection. Well, today we are looking at some great passages. We had looked at Revelation 11 a little bit and moved into chapter 12. And the reason why we jumped into chapter 12 a little bit is because it talks about this idea that there's going to be a place set aside in the desert region for Israel. Israel is going to go through some tremendous pain, time of Jacob's trouble. In Revelation 11, you can go there now with me and just have a look at this. This is Revelation and chapter 11. The good thing about slides is we can move through a lot of material quickly, but ultimately it's very good for us to just go straight to the scriptures and read the passages there. Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 18. It says this, getting a little bit of context here in verse 15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Handel's Messiah. What a wonderful thing. How inspiring. All in King James English. Beautiful. "And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God." 24 elders. Well, you know, there's a lot of lineup between how Israel was organized and what you find this vision of the what's going on in heaven, in the temple in heaven. It seems like the pattern that we find written in the Old Testament, especially about the tabernacle, has a picture of things which are in the heavens, as the writer of Hebrews tells us. Verse 17, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come." Okay, now we've got nations angry, "and thy wrath is come." Here comes some anger from God. "And the time of the dead." Oh, the time of the dead. Now, when it says the time of the dead, and considering what I've said before about the book of Revelation, and considering it's the time of Jacob's trouble, and considering the mapping to Daniel chapter 12 and 11, the time of dead must be that which the prophets talked about. And it says that they should be judged, that they, that is the dead, should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward. Okay, rewards coming. "Unto thy servants," who? The prophets. The prophets now are in vogue. Why? Because we're back over here. I better watch that. Reflect and bounce off the walls and stuff. But it's to do with Israel. And it says, "And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest," look at this, "destroy them which destroy the earth." Destroy. Very interesting. Kill. It's interesting that when you find how God brings punishment on those that are to be found guilty and find their place in some, I'm going to put in quotes, hell, When they have their hell, it is to be destroyed. It's to be destroyed. Right? And so the final Gehenna, the lake of fire, is the second death. What was the first death? Well, okay, we know what death is. So the second death is going to be likewise. It's a final judgment. And it's a judgment to death, and from which there will be no resurrection. They're destroyed. Okay, going on down here, it says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So we've got a scene, heaven opened up, and there's some sort of parallel with what we find in the temple in the Old Testament. What we read in the Old Testament concerning the temple and the tabernacle will have parallels in heaven. So there's obviously a big study waiting for us, and that is to study the temple and the tabernacle. Going into chapter 12 now, it says in verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. You can find this in the Old Testament to do with Jacob. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, I want you to see something here. It says in verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder. This is a sign. This is a sign. So it says, there appeared a great wonder. That is a particular sign. And in Revelation, you'll find lots of places where there are signs. In verse 1 and also in verse 3, chapter 13. Chapter 15, 16, and 19. Signs are in here. And in this vision that John will see, there are signs. Now look what it says in verse 2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Well, people who read the scriptures are not thinking about how that this is a view of the revelation, the apocalypse, the unveiling, the time of Jacob's trouble, will try and see only and hear Mary. They say, oh, this is Mary and she's going to give birth. It won't work, my friends. That interpretation won't work here. You keep reading. And there appeared another wonder. Oh, another one, another sign. See that word wonder? Sign. There's another sign here in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Okay, here's this dragon. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragons stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born.
So here he's looking forward to the time when Israel is going to give birth to this man-child. And this man-child wants to be devoured, not the man-child itself, but rather the devil wants to devour this man-child, wants to kill it.
And you notice here, it talks about in verse 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And it says in verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. You say, well, this sounds very much like Jesus Christ. It does. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
Well, here is a resurrection, a translation of this man-child that's taken up.
And then what happens? Look, just keep reading. And it says in verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 3.5 years, man.
So, what do we see? We see Satan ready to devour this man-child which is born, and God protects it. Now, one of the things I think we can do to help us understand what's going on here is to think about the realm, or the various realms and strongholds that Satan occupies. Ephesians 2:2, Paul writing to us in this age, it says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power, the prince of the authority of the air. He obviously has authority there during this time.
has authority in this particular region. Look at this one, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what are these high places? In the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. Well, that's interesting. In the air regions, in the heavenly places, in this age, Satan has some dominion. Has some dominion there. Well, if it's true that Satan, and it certainly is true, Satan is going to be cast out of these various strongholds, doesn't it make sense that at some stage they're going to be reoccupied by those that are the redeemed? Doesn't it make sense that that would occur? If you go back to Matthew 24, I'm trying to understand these passages, right? Let's see if we can understand these things. If we go back to in the Matthew 24, because Matthew 24 and Luke 21 are parallel passages, and they talk about this time. And if you look at verse 1 of Matthew 24, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." The buildings of the temple. Well, as far as we know, that's what they would have looked like at the time of Christ. It's an artist's impression, what they would look like. And in here, in this description, you get what would appear to be a chronologue of events that go through the tribulation. It says this, for example, in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, at the end of this age? And Jesus answered said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Okay, so obviously deception is possible here. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And it goes on and talks about the pestilences, which we've been reading about in Revelation. And then it says in verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." You see, people want to take that as a nice little formula for how we're going to be saved. You know, "He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." Well, what you're doing is you're ripping out a passage which was never addressed to you in this age. Never. It has a context which has to do with the book of Revelation and the end time. If you take this passage as a formula for how you're going to get saved, you're going to be lost. Lost. As a goose. You get these Canadian geese coming over? And each time I see it, I think, oh man, there we go, another goose. "He that endures the end, the same shall be saved." Well, that's absolutely perfectly true in the context of the book of Revelation and these end times. That's exactly true. Okay. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Cool. Okay. That's what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. But look what happens next. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." This takes us back to Daniel. We've been talking about the judgments, and we've been talking about the resurrection, which is associated there. We've seen the abomination of desolation mentioned in there. "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Okay, once this abomination that makes desolate get set up, then you get this last 3.5 years of great tribulation happening. Look at this. There's a lot more to read in here, okay, but I just want to point these things out. Go across to Luke 21 with me now. These are parallel passages. So when this abomination that maketh desolate is stuck into the temple, there comes tremendous tribulation. Look at Luke 21 and verse 34. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. This is the verse. Verse 36. I want you to think about this. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape. To escape all these things that shall come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. Who escaped? It's the man-child. Right? And he was caught up into heaven. These are they that were accounted worthy. These were brought forth during this time of great tribulation. And then what we find, okay, let's go back to Revelation. I'm trying to map this out, getting some sort of chronologue of what's going on. Because that's what's missing. Okay, we're going to Revelation now. And Revelation 12. We've read in verse 5, the man-child. Caught up unto God. And then verse 6, woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. We talked about this, right? How there is a place that God prepares. The psalmist talks about this place. He prepares it. And it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Yeah, Michael, that's it. Michael is all about standing for the children of Israel. And he fights for them. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more. Oh, no more place for them. Okay, so now those ranks and areas and strongholds are now empty. They can be filled, right? They can be filled. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, right, at that time, right? So right at this time when the abomination which maketh desolate, at least around about that time, this thing occurs. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Rehearsing again what we read in Revelation 11, verse 18. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. See, our brethren, it's got to do with Israel. There's the accuser. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Specific death comes to them. And they stay worthy. They stay strong. They have this testimony. And they take this particular death, which we'll read about later on, this particular death that will come to them. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the end of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Yeah, there's still time, but it's short. How much time? Keep reading. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who's the woman? Well, which brought forth the man-child. That's Israel, right? Israel now is going to be persecuted. That is, those that remain. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time. Look at it. And times, and half a time, 3.5 years. There it is. She goes out and she's fed miraculously. Hold on, hold the phone. Haven't we read this happened before at the Exodus? Haven't we read that she went out into the wilderness and she is fed? This is manna. She was miraculously provided for. It looks like what happened before is a type and picture of what's going to happen again. And those things that happen in regards of the construction of the tabernacle and temple, they are pictures of things that happen in heaven. It's just a great sign and picture book of things to come. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Satan's after Israel, man, wants to destroy her. That is the remnants of Israel. The man-child, the faithful, the ones who are faithful, called collectively the man-child, caught up to heaven, as Luke 21 says. And the earth helped the woman, And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Satan's after that remnant of Israel.
But there is a miraculous place of God in the desert regions. And those things that happened before will happen again. Cool? Rock and roll, man. I mean, this book is unbelievably amazing. It's amazing how the things match up. Well, I hope you got something out of this. I'm out of time and just about out of voice. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. We ask Thee that You would help us learn more and put things together in the right sequence, Lord, and be helped, Lord, not just for our own edification, but also to edify others, to help others in their journey on in this wonderful life that You have given us here in America. Lord, we pray for all those around the world who, in whatever circumstances they find themselves, Lord, that You would reach down and give them understanding. I pray, Lord, that You'd bring them to the website and bring them to the fellowship here, that they would come to understand more of the Bible rightly divided. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.